Good morning. So glad you are here today. The Lord is here. I want to thank our worship leaders for preparing us to meet with God and hear from Him. Before we turn to the Word of God, let's talk to the God of the Word again. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father in heaven, for meeting with us today. We rejoice in your presence. We are in awe of your holiness. We are overwhelmed by your love. Thank you for your grace to us in Jesus Christ. Thank you that we could be called the children of God. We welcome your Holy Spirit in our midst today. As we open your word, please convict us concerning sin and righteousness and the judgment to come. Comfort us. Show us Jesus. Show us where we need to trust him and obey him. For we ask all of this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you because we have a great God. It would be very easy for me to be discouraged about the future if I didn't know that God was in control. Have you ever felt like that? I've been a pastor for many years now, and I've seen attendance and offerings go up and down. A worship pastor I knew was doing a great job resigned because of stress that was caused by church members griping and gossiping. As a result, the church ended up losing its praise team. That was discouraging. Someone once said that the things that can be counted don't always count. And the things that count can't always be counted. The things that can be counted don't always count, and the things that count can't always be counted. Now, don't get me wrong, okay? Offerings and attendance are important for a church to continue to serve its community, but what matters most are matters of the heart, folks. That's what matters most. It's the source of our biggest problem, and here's why. Our view of ourself is too big, our view of God is too small, and our view of faith is incomplete. So what do you do when things don't go as planned? Well, people say, well, have hope. Good. What are we going to hope in? What do you hope in? I mean, you got to have hope, but you got to hope in something, right? At times like that, how do you find your way forward? I'll tell you how you find your way forward. It has everything to do with your faith. The writer of the New Testament book of Hebrews defined faith for us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. The King James says, "The faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." The NIV says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Can you see that in the picture, in the fog? I really like this picture because it reminds me of Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie Ten Boom was a survivor of the Holocaust, and she wrote a great description of faith. She said that faith is like radar that sees through the fog things that are really there. I like that. Faith is like radar. But my favorite definition of biblical faith comes from a Baptist evangelist, Manly Beasley, and I've shared this with you before, and I want to remind you of it again. Look at what Manly Beasley said. Faith is believing something is so when it's not so, so that it becomes so because God said so. Isn't that good? Faith is believing something is so when it's not so, so that it becomes so because God said so. And that last line is so important. When we have faith, we base it on a promise of God, folks. God's word. Well, let me ask you this. What does God want to do next in your life? What does he want to do next in your life? What are you believing God for right now? What does he want to do in this church? What does he want to do in America? What does the future hold? Wouldn't you like to know? I would really like to know. But as I said on the Apollo 13 moon mission, Houston, we've had a problem here. What's our problem? Except for Bible prophecy, God has kept the future hidden from us. Now, every now, once in a while, we kind of wonder about that. Do you remember 3 years ago who won the World Series? Anybody remember? In 2016, the most unlikely team, the Chicago Cubs, won the World Series. Okay? And he said, Pastor, why are you talking about this? Because there was a story about Michael Lee, a California high school senior, whose 1993 yearbook quote was, Chicago Cubs, 2016 world champions, you heard it here first. Okay? He wrote that in his yearbook in 1993. So did he know the future? No. It was just a good guess, all right? Happened to be a coincidence, all right? None of us can see the future. However, while we are without sight regarding the future, we are not without insight as to how we, as children of God, should approach the future. And I want to tell you that faith is a necessity as we approach the future. Faith is a necessity. I want to invite you to open your Bible to Matthew chapter 9, where we're going to look at verses 27 to 31. Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 to 31. I'm going to be using the English Standard Version today. We're also going to have it up on the screen. Matthew 9, verse 27, the Bible says, And as Jesus passed on from there, now from where? It was a place where he had just healed a woman who was sick for 12 years, and he had raised a 12-year-old dead girl back to life. Okay? So that's the context here. As Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, Have mercy on us, son of David. When he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, Do you believe that I'm able to do this? They said to him, Yes, Lord. Then the Bible says he touched their eyes, and he said, According to your faith, be it done unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, See that no one knows about it. But they went out and spread his fame throughout all that district. This is the word of God. I want to invite you to keep your Bible open. But this story has three keys. Three keys to their future and ours. And all three keys involve our faith. The first key to the future, to yours and mine, is the necessity of faith. The necessity of faith. Folks, faith isn't just an option. It's not one choice in a menu of many selections. It's a necessity, especially if we want the favor of God in our life. And I want that, do you? I want God's favor. A dark future was all these two blind men could reasonably expect. The best the doctors could do was to teach them to use a cane and to beg. As far as they were concerned, their future was literally dark. Cataract surgery, lens implants, eye donors, and laser surgery are virtually unknown back then. They needed a power greater than themselves to work in their lives and change their future. Now, today, a lot of people like to talk about the power of positive thinking. They would have laughed. They would have laughed. The two blind men knew they were blind. And in that, they had an advantage over us. Why? Because they knew that they needed Jesus. They knew that. Now let's think about the key to our future. We need to start where these blind men were. First, we need to admit that we're blind. You say, what, Pastor? Yeah, we need to admit that we're blind. Stop thinking that we know what the future holds. Because we don't. None of us can see the future. You know, it always gives me a chuckle when I see blind people who wear sunglasses. You know who that is up there? Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder. Okay, they wear sunglasses when they make appearances. Why? Because it looks cool, and it's a sham. It's vanity. It makes them look good, but they don't need sunglasses. Why don't they need sunglasses? Because they're both blind. They can't see. And neither can we when it comes to the future. We need to admit we can't see it any better than a blind man can see the sun. And you know what that does for us? It leads to humility. It leads to an end of our pride. For us, the future is completely uncertain. We have no guarantees in the stock market, in the supermarket, or even in life itself, do we? No guarantees. Life's so unpredictable. The world constantly teeters on the brink of disaster. Hurricanes, that's what we're talking about now, right? Hurricanes, drought, tornadoes, earthquakes, floods. Some of you know the town I live in, Buena Vista, knows this better than most. Many people in Buena Vista didn't think that two 100-year floods could happen 16 years apart. But then 50 years ago, 1969 happened in August, Hurricane Camille hit. And then 16 years later, in 1985, another 100-year flood hit downtown Buena Vista and wiped it out. They thought they had the future figured out. They didn't think they needed a flood wall after 1969 because it was 100 years. Guess what? They didn't have it figured out. None of us do. We need to be reminded of our own inadequacy and of the necessity of faith, the necessity of trusting in Almighty God. Yes, we do have some control, but precious little ability to control our future. What are you believing God for right now in your life? Folks, listen, you and I can't produce God's blessing in our lives or in the church. But God's blessing is the key to our future and the church's future. Amen? God's blessing is the key. We need His blessing. So faith is a necessity, and understanding that is the first key to our future. But in what or in whom do we place our faith? And that brings us to the second key to our future. That is the object of our faith. Who do we put our faith in? Hollywood says that you need to believe in yourself. That's the underlying message in many of the movies. Over and over, believe in yourself. Okay? Now that's nice. But let's look at who the Bible says we should trust in. Who were these blind men asked to put their faith in? Who? Jesus, that's right. I want you to notice Jesus' question in verse 28. He said, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" Do you believe that I am able to? Who was talking to them? This was the divine Son of God, Christ. They had heard of Jesus. They knew by His reputation that He could be none other than the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of David. Now, why is that important? Because the prophet Isaiah said that when the Messiah, the Son of David, set up His kingdom, quote, "Then will the eyes of the blind be opened." And that was them. See, they were the blind. And they knew that there was a promise in God's word about them. Plus, He had just raised the dead daughter of Jairus, the synagogue ruler, right? So what would you have said if Jesus said that to you and you were one of these blind men? Do you believe I'm able to do this? Their immediate response was, "Yes, Lord. Yes, we believe. We believe." Though physically blind, they focused the eyes of their faith on Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who created eyes and eyesight. Do you see what they did? They believed that something was so when it wasn't so, so that it became so because God said so. Now, we too need to rely on Christ for an uncertain future. Otherwise, we are just the blind leading the blind in the dark. But if we make Jesus Christ the object of our faith, we can lead the spiritually blind to Jesus. And that is a Christ follower's job, folks, just to lead people to Jesus. He'll save them if they trust Him. We just lead them there. The result is that the lost will be saved, the hopeless find hope, and the church will grow. You know, at some point in life, we all have to make an individual decision to either reject God's authority or to accept His authority over us. And Jesus confronts you and me with the same question that He asked the blind men. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? To do what? To transform your future? To take you from darkness to light? To give you victory over the sin that threatens to destroy your life? To renew the church? To bring revival to America, to do what seems impossible, and give you a purpose for living. This is extra. Do you know what the two most important days in a person's life are? The day you're born and the day you discover why. Purpose in life. A lot of people don't have purpose, but Jesus will give you purpose. So let me ask you again, who or what is your faith in? Someone has said the faith is like a train. I like this illustration. One night a train left the station, but it stopped 5 miles down the track because one little small detail was overlooked. The engine wasn't coupled to the passenger cars. Oops! Small problem. That coupling between the engine and the passenger cars is like faith in Jesus Christ that saves us from our sin problem. Faith connects us to the Savior. But just as it is not the coupling that pulls the train, but the locomotive, so faith by itself doesn't save you. Faith cannot save you alone. Everyone has some kind of faith, but that faith is in someone or something. A lot of times, faith links people to the wrong locomotive. They trust themselves. They trust their ability. They trust their good looks. They trust their family ties, their connections. But faith brings salvation from sin and the power of God into our lives and into our church only when Christ is the object of our faith. Why? Because it's not faith that saves you, but Jesus. It's not organization that builds the church or having the right plan. It's Jesus that builds the church. So let's think for a moment about the future of this church. Do you believe that God can help Lakeside Church bring the good news of Jesus Christ to this community around us? Do you believe that? What about make disciples? What about make disciples that obey? That's a little harder. Helping Christians grow in their faith. Can he do that? Yes, he can do that. But let me ask you, what are you trusting God to do right now? What are you trusting him to do? If we believe God, it'll affect what we say and what we do. Because when Jesus is Lord, our priorities shift. We begin to look for opportunities to obey him. As a church, we'll measure ourselves against the Bible and not the opinion of people. We'll make caring for and reaching out to lost people a priority. Make disciple-making our main mission. And we'll measure our success by whether or not we're accomplishing our mission. You know, one of the great things about the Church of the Brethren is our commitment to feed the hungry, heal the sick, and care for the poor. But we must never forget that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And that's our primary mission. And so the first key to our future is that it's necessary to have faith. The second key is that our faith must be in Christ. The third key is that faith in God, faith in Christ brings results. So let's think about the result of faith. What happens when we trust Jesus? We have a good example here in God's Word. Faith is not an end in itself. You know, people say, well, just believe. That makes faith an end in itself. Faith is not an end in itself. It's for a purpose. First, for salvation from the sinful self-centeredness that it's threatening to destroy our lives. And then faith will bring God's blessing. It'll bring purity. It'll bring spiritual maturity into our lives. When you follow Jesus, God will transform you and use you to point others to Christ. Remember I was talking a couple weeks ago about when did Jesus change you? He changes us, doesn't he? Let's look again at the two blind men. Were they just raving maniacs? Is that what they were because they called on Jesus to heal them? People nearby thought so. You be the judge. The Bible says in Matthew 9, verse 29, then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it done unto you, and their eyes were opened. What was the result of the faith of these two blind men? Their eyes were opened. They got their sight restored. Look again at Jesus' words in verse 29, according to your faith. In other words, because you have faith. Without a doubt, the healing miracle they experienced was accomplished by the power of Christ. But at the same time, Jesus said it depended on their faith. Their faith in his power to heal them. Their faith was not in the means, it wasn't in the method that he used. In other words, they didn't say, well, Lord, how are you going to do it? How are you going to heal our eyesight? Are you going to make mud and spit like the other blind men? No. What are you going to do? Are you going to touch us? It wasn't in his methods at all. They just simply trusted Christ to do it his way, his time, with his power. They just took God at his word. And so must we. In our lives, in our church, in our business, we need to take God at his word. These men were not crazy maniacs when they called on Jesus. They believed Jesus was the Messiah, Son of God, the Lord of all. They knew God's word had a specific promise about their need, and so they claimed it by faith. And so, let me ask you, can you see like they saw? Can you see as good as the two blind men? They could see that they needed Jesus. Do we? Our faith in Christ can bring great results also, but we must trust Him first and not just our ideas. Did you ever notice that opinions are a lot like children? Your own look better to you than anybody else's? Did you ever notice that? Even Jesus' opinion, our own looks better to us. And we need Jesus, and we need to trust Him completely. Faith in God's power through Christ will deliver you from the power that sin has in your life. It will deliver us from living in the past and will help us look to the future. After that, faith in God's sovereignty, His control, and His power enables us to work with Him and trust Him no matter what happens in our lives. What are you trusting God for right now? You say, yes, Pastor, but you don't know the mess we're in. No, but God does. And Jesus said, according to your faith, it'll be done unto you. How much do you trust Jesus? Some of us struggle with this. Some of you have struggled with it maybe for a long time. Do you trust God enough to let Him work? Do you trust Him enough to tithe? Do you trust Him enough to speak to others about Christ and let Him draw them to Himself? Do we trust Him enough to follow the clear teaching of the Bible instead of our preferences and traditions? Instead of fighting and resisting circumstances we can't control, faith helps us see our circumstances as God's method of bringing about His will for us and blessing us. Mary and I have friends that we went to seminary with, Bill and Linda Hall. They're a couple that we knew, and they planted Living Hope Brethren Church in Saxton, Pennsylvania, a very poor mining community. The work struggled for years, but at a pastor's retreat, Bill had shared how God was blessing, and now people were coming to Christ. And so I asked him, I said, what changed? He said that they were praying and fasting and seeking and crying out to God and trusting Him, and God answered. God answered. Folks, we have God's word that He is able to complete in us the work that He began. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. We have His promise that the church will triumph. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And we have His promise, surely I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. What else do we need? What else do you need to trust God completely? Folks, listen, God is faithful and He's not going to lose His reputation on you or me. Friends, our future is not as dependent on our talents or ability as it is on our faith. On our faith. Three keys to our future then are with our faith. First, faith is necessity. Secondly, faith is the object of our faith must be who? The Lord Jesus Christ. And thirdly, that kind of faith will bring God's power and it'll bring results, and that's an exciting future. So we can face tomorrow and the future with hope and confidence as we act on the principle of our sovereign, all-powerful Lord, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. Folks, listen to me. Jesus didn't say, according to your fate. He didn't say, according to your fortune. He didn't say, according to your fame. He didn't say, according to your friends or your feelings, it will be done unto you, did He? He said, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. Remember that. What do you need to trust God to do today in your life? What do you need to trust God for today in this church? Folks, remember, faith is believing something is so when it's not so, so that it becomes so because God said so. Say that with me. Faith is believing something is so when it's not so, so that it becomes so because God said so. What does the Bible say in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. He will direct your paths, the King James says. What does the future hold for us? Folks, only God knows. Only God knows. But I do know this, the best is yet to be. The best is yet to be. This isn't all there is it? Heaven awaits all who trust in Christ for their salvation. And let me tell you, that'll be far more wonderful than anything Walt Disney imagined at Disney World or anywhere else. Okay? In the meantime, you have a choice to make. Are you going to fret or have faith? Fret or have faith? What about this church? Are we trusting God as we should? Are we seeking His will? Do we need to come together and pray? Christian friend, do you need to grow in faith personally? And be honest and say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Is there something you need God to do? Tell Him about it now and claim the promises of His Word. Reaffirm your commitment to Him to follow Him closely. And if you're here without Christ, folks, you don't need horoscopes or fortune tellers. We don't need to fear what tomorrow will bring. All we need to do is put our trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Come to God and say, Father, please accept me, not for what I have done, but for what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And God will adopt you as His child. Friends, the world is waiting to see what God will do with one man or one woman who is fully committed to Him. Will you be that person? Will you be that person? A.W. Tozer is one of my favorite authors. He said, God is looking for people through whom He can do the impossible. What a pity that we plan to only do things that we can do by ourselves. What a pity. Will you trust God today? Will you put your faith in Jesus and follow Him? That will lead to an exciting future. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for Your Word. Thank You for the encouragement that it brings us, that we need. It would be so easy for us to be discouraged. Help us to keep our eyes on Jesus, the eyes of faith, to follow closely to Him, to obey Him. Lord, we put our future into Your hands. We trust You to do something amazing, something wonderful. But whatever it is, Lord, we know that it is best. Thank You for Your love for us. Thank You for Your faithfulness. I pray, Lord, that You would encourage Your people today through Your Word. For I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.